There we are. We're back. All right. Are you there, Admiral?
Yeah.
So, don't forget about those 45s and talking to your dear daughter.
Say again?
Don't forget about the 45 RPM records and speaking to dear daughter.
Yeah, I will be talking to her tomorrow.
Tell her they're going to be used and appreciated. Did you get that picture of that machine?
Oh, I did. What an awesome thing you got there.
Well, I don't have it. It's slowly being restored.
Right.
It's a Wurlitzer jukebox, and I found one, and I don't have a lot of money, but it's a slow process of putting it back together, and it's being meticulously restored. It's a Wurlitzer. And
it brings me back to my teen years when in the 50s, it was just like Happy Days or just like American Graffiti, and one of the buzz phrases was, gee, Dad, it's a Wurlitzer.
You know, the sad thing is they made a sequel to American Graffiti, but it was all the cast characters like 10, 15 years later or something, and how they had befallen them, hard times had befallen them, and then all that. They blew it. They just blew it. And I'll tell you right now, if any of you people, Hollywood screenwriters, you want to have a big winner, make another American Graffiti with that music while the boomers are still around and the younger people will get the idea that they have no concept what this country used to be like. No idea.
No, you're not kidding.
None. And
you're
and
not kidding. It was exactly like you saw on American Graffiti. That's the way it was, you know, with the... Just fun.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah,
No drugs, no gang fights or anything like that.
It was innocence, true, honest innocence. And our young people now have no concept of kindness and fun. It's what it was. You got it. All
right. The closest my 28-year-old daughter has is she's got an 80-year-old father who shows her all the photo albums.
Well, I wish you'd put those photo albums on a CD and make them available. You should. You said all the records are in perfect, you've kept them all in their sleeves and they're in perfect shape and all that. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Gosh.
In the sleeves, those are the vinyls. The 45s are in cases where they're vertically stacked.
Right. Well, anyway, I'm trying to talk Harry out of them, so I'll have something to play in this.
There's only about 600 or 700 of them. And about 600 or 700 long plays, which today are called vinyls.
33 and a third.
LPs. And a third. Back in the 50s, when I was in high school, I was working evenings in a shoe store. But on my break and on my lunch, supper break, I'd run on down to the local record store and empty the trash cans and sweep up the floors, and the guy paid me off in records, and then I'd get paid on Friday, and I'd run down. I got a discount, so I'd buy more records, so I got all sorts of records.
Well,
and then over the years, whenever I'd be with a girlfriend, I'd somehow kind of absorb her record collection. Got a lot of rare records. Elvis Presley with Scotty and Bill.
So she paid you in records, too. I get it.
Never looked at it that way.
Well, you stick around me, and I'll help you see the world as it really is. So the LPs, now I don't need the LPs, but they're worth money. You can put
those
up. That's
what I've been told.
Yeah, I just want the
45s. I've even got one album, Bill Haley and the Saddlemen. That was before he did Rock Around the Clock for the movie Blackboard Jungle, and that's what started the whole rock and roll era.
Yeah.
But he was a Western band before that. Bill Haley and the Saddlemen with the steel guitars
Before he became a comet. How funny.
That's it.
Well, okay. All right, back to our picture show. Photo
back
number.
To the picture show.
11. I think we're on 11. Yeah.
Yep. Auf Deutsch, das ist Elf. Okay, this is the Club Andino, which means ski club, I guess, of the Andes. This was founded by a guy named Otto Mehling back in the 30s, and mailing was an advance spook, keeping an eye on the area. And he was one tough dude. He built his own cabin on the side of a mountain where there was no road. He had to climb up the mountain with boards on his back, and he not only built his little shack, cottage, whatever it was, where people can stay if they want to. They've got one room there. He also dug his own grave, figuring, you know, he's going to need it one of these days. And sure enough, eventually he died, and he's buried up there in the grave he dug.
Wow.
Tough guy.
That's pretty damn practical.
Yeah, that's for sure. Most of these next few are in the Bariloche area. If you look at number 12, you see a big bell on the front of it that used to be the Hotel Campana. And I think Campana is the Spanish word for bell. I think that's what I was told. And if you remember back in 1995, when Sam Donaldson, the newscaster with the fiberglass haircut, he went down there because he heard about this guy, Juan Mahler. That wasn't his real name, but that was just the Spanish name he was using. He was an SS officer.
Right.
And when Sam Donaldson confronted him, he says, oh, no, I'm just a low-level guy. Who you really want is Erich Priebke. And he pointed him at Priebke. Now, when I'm in Munich in a few weeks, I'm supposed to meet with Mahler's grandson. And he's got a lot of things to show me, which I'm looking forward to that. So, Merlin, if you're listening, I'll see you over there. Aus München. The next photo, number 14, that's where Priebke lived. He lived upstairs, and downstairs was his butcher shop. Priebke was a member of Shark Hunters until his death at age 100. He wound up going back to Rome to stand trial. And the military court found absolutely no reason to hold him and sent him back to Bariloche. Well, then there was pressure, and he was brought back to stand trial in a civil court. And the civil court found him guilty of whatever. And so he was sentenced to life in prison, and the guy was like 90 years old anyhow. And they arranged it to where it was house arrest, and he had a very plush apartment in Rome. And I saw some of his guards, his carabinieri, beautiful young Italian girls, 24, 25 years old. That really didn't seem like much of a punishment. Plus, he could go walking in the park every day. He'd walk to the we've got pictures of him in the grocery store when he's supposed to be under house arrest. I guess that's house arrest. But this was his, he was very instrumental in this area. When he moved there after the war, this was his shop, which now is a multi-use place for various different kinds of doctors. But then if you click over to number 15, I think that's the next one in line, isn't it? Yeah, there's 15. That's the old German school that he helped organize. And now they got a big, huge, monster, beautiful, modern school. Still the German school there in Bariloche. Mm-hmm. And he also got a number, whatever the hell number next is there. It ain't opening up, but anyhow. Number
what
16.
Number, is it?
Number
row
16.
Three?
Number 16.
Row. Okay, got it.
It says German Cultural Center. He helped form the German Cultural Center. There it is. It finally opened up.
Yeah.
And it's still flourishing.
That's probably an original sign on the side of the building, too.
It sure looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Bundesrepublik Deutschland, that would be after the Third Reich, because that was a Reich, not a Bundesrepublik.
Got it.
Okay. I believe.
Good catch. All right, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Then, of course, there's this magnificent resort hotel, whatever. And
do we get to go there on the trip?
We'll be there, yeah, for a luncheon.
Oh, my. Oh, are you? You people who are going
are so lucky.
We
couldn't afford to stay here. Holy smokers! You're looking at about $1,000 a night, and it's the name LLAO-LLAO. To those speaking Castellano, it's pronounced "xiao xiao." I don't know how you get "xiao xiao" out of that, but that's what they call it. We go there. We have a lunch there. We do some sightseeing, and if anybody wants to buy souvenirs, God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Eisenhower was there in 1960 when he was a president. Jimmy Carter was there when he was a president. Bill Clinton was there when he was a president. Barack Obama was there when he was a president. And John Kerry was there when he was Secretary of State.
Now, all of you need to keep in mind what Harry just said. Why were four sitting presidents moved to fly down literally to the middle of nowhere and go to that particular hotel? What were they doing down there in Bariloche? Why did they go there? Not for the resorts. They didn't go there for a vacation. It was business. They went down there on business. What kind
of
business might it have been?
In other parts of the world. This one's at the end of the world. Did find out a little more, and I'm not going to go into too much, and you don't have to make a comment because you know the story, and I'm only going to say a little bit that the diary we came across indicates that in 1960, I think it was, some SAC bombers went down there because there was a moratorium between the U.S. and Russia where nobody was supposed to be testing anything. They came down there with nuclear devices to test way in the southern end of Patagonia. Excuse me, and Eisenhower was there as part of that thing. So, but that we'll leave that topic drop because you know what the rest of that story is all about. We'll break it on your show when I'm ready to break it, probably in about 2 months.
I can't wait. I will say this, that what Harry is alluding to is earth-shaking. Okay? We'll leave it at that. I'm also told that Xiao Xiao from the air has a design. It's built in a certain architectural expression. Is that true? Do we know?
I have not heard that. And I know what you're going for. I know where you... I don't know.
Have you seen an aerial picture of it? I have. I don't know where it is though right now.
No, I have not seen the aerial picture. And if you got it handy, email it to me when you get around to it. One of the guys who's already signed on for it.
Yeah, the Xiao Xiao. If anyone out there has that picture, and I don't remember who sent it to me, it's an aerial view of the Hotel Xiao Xiao, and it has a certain architectural expression. Okay? And that was built...
It was built 1938 with German money.
1938 in the middle of nowhere. Clientele. How many hundred rooms are in there? 500?
I don't know. It's
400?
A massive place. Click on photo number 18 and you'll see the main assembly room, lobby, whatever you want to call it.
That's somewhat extraordinary.
Fantastic. It's just an incredible place.
Now, this was built,
I
got to repeat this. No one was down there when this was built.
Right.
Nobody. So who did they build it for? They built it for German citizens, German government members. They knew that if Germany won the war, there's certainly a wide open opportunity for tremendous tourism down there. But they also knew that if Germany were to lose the war, there might be a need for the hotel as well. This was built in anticipation of two or three different eventualities. And it's just a magnificent all-wooden edifice. In fact, it burned when they were building it, and they had to start over again to a large degree.
Yeah, that it was finally open again in 1939 it opened, and hasn't been shut down since. It's incredible. But like I say, you're looking at about $1,000 a night. I don't have that kind of money. Maybe if I was a politician, I would, but...
No, you just got that right. Okay, number 19. What are we looking at?
Yes. This is not something you find in an Indiana Jones movie. We actually go across that bridge with our car to
Really? Look at the treads on that. Come on, planks.
What? Yeah. What can I say? Nobody's fallen through it, to my knowledge. And we're on
wow.
that. Yeah, we go into this little village way up in the mountains, which you'll see in photo number 20. If it opens on my screen here. You see number 20?
Swiss village. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's a little Swiss village up in the mountains, just outside of Bariloche, 4 or 5 miles out, I guess. Seems there the girls are taller than the guys, according to this picture. But we'll
That's
spend some time there at the Swiss village. It turned into a little bit of a touristy thing. Then we get back into Third Reich history. And looking
Look at the
next...
timbers in that. When would that have been built?
I don't know. Shame
was
on
that
me.
A possible extension of Bavarian architecture out of Bariloche in the 30s, 40s, 50s?
I can't answer that.
They call it a Swiss village. Maybe it was actually Swiss speak German, so.
Right. Yeah, part of Switzerland, they speak German. They also speak
Observation.
French and Italian.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a blown-up World War II observation bunker. This is a World War II-grade concrete observation bunker overlooking an inlet off of that enormous lake. Why would someone build a huge concrete bunker overlooking an inlet off of that lake?
Right. This is not constructed like the bunkers at Lorient or Brest, you know, the 7 meter thick walls. No, this was bivouac or an observation post, maybe half a dozen, 4 or 5 platoons in there, maybe a company. Their whole purpose was to watch any boat traffic going by. And then you click over on page number 22, and that is not the hood ornament for a 1956 Buick. That's me pointing towards where.
That's funny.
Yeah, I know.
It looks exact. I couldn't figure out what you look like. It looks like a hood
56
ornament.
Hood ornament on a 56
Good.
Buick.
Good.
But here it's controlling the access to the finger of the lake where. Inalco was, which is where Hitler was living for 10 years after the war.
Yeah.
And in 1960, this place was blown up as a military exercise. Who knows why? It wasn't hurting anybody. There's a lot more of these pictures on the website. You go to sharkhunters.com and then up at the top, previous tours. Click on that and you'll see all sorts of photos, including this wonderful photo, like, oh, look, Ohio, it's Columbus. Never mind.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Land.
So we'll be going there. And from the other direction, there's a tower referred to as the Saracen Tower, but that's on private property, and we can't go there.
What do you mean? You've been there.
Martine and I almost got there. But then the caretaker realized that Martine was tying him up in conversation while I was kicking a soccer ball with the two guard dogs. And every time I kicked it, I was closer and closer and closer. And I had my snapshot camera going and I had my movie camera going. And I was about 30 feet away. And Martine says, Harry, we must go. He said he does not wish to become a violent man. I said, okay, we don't want him violent either. So we left.
Wow.
But those were the two routes leading into the finger of the lake where Inalco sits. Even today, it sits there. As you see in 23.
Picture 23. Now, many of you regulars, in fact, all of you regulars, have seen this picture before. This is taken by Harry in 2008. And at that time, very few people visited this location. Very few. In point of fact, much of the original furniture was abandoned and left inside this home.
Yeah, because we have no record there. Of anybody living there after Hitler and Eva Braun moved out in 55.
No. It was, it's not to say that no one went in there. There had to be some kind of caretaking going on, but it was privately owned then, and it's privately owned still to this day. And the furnishings were all still in there. And you can see pictures of those.
And the road behind the place wasn't even built yet.
No. Behind those trees up on the hillside, and it is a mountain back there, is a major two-lane. It's a highway.
It's two-lane.
And it circles the lake.
Yeah, and then it goes up and over the mountains into Chile.
So it actually circles. They built a highway probably in the 80s, something like that. And it's within a couple of hundred yards of that house.
Right.
Which is not, you can't see it from the road, but it's there. And all these people driving by have no idea they're passing so close to history.
Absolute history. You're not kidding. And if you look on photo 24, you see what it looks like now after that volcano erupted and dumped ash all over the place. We're going to spend a whole day there, here where the house is and the guest house behind it, and also a few hundred yards down along the lake is the farm. We'll see that in a little bit. But we're going to have the whole day to wander through there with permission. Take all the photos you want. That's all you can take. You leave everything else that's there and leave it alone. Take photos, film, etc. And then we're going to spend one night in one of the guest houses, just a stone's throw outside the picture frame here. Really tragic to see that what's happened to it from photo 23 to 24.
Well, that's not structural. It's mostly cosmetic, and it can be restored to exactly the glory it had before. It looks as if in this newer photo, someone at least has made an effort to clean the ash off the lawn area.
That's right,
all over the place. So that was hosed off, looks like.
You see the three windows down on the first floor. That was the main room. That's where the table and the chairs in question were. And above that, the one big window, that was Hitler and Eva Braun's master suite, the main bedroom.
And down, you can find more pictures of this on Shark Hunters.
It's well worth taking a look. Sharkhunters.com.
Look at the interior pictures. Look carefully. It's fascinating that those bottom windows, those three large windows, the view out those windows is absolutely stunning. It's front lawn, and it turns into the lake, and you can see for dozens of miles. And that's that center window. There was a small breakfast type table for four people. One person at each end. So Hitler would be at one end, Eva Braun would be at the other. They would be served breakfast, probably in lunch. Then the larger table was for formal dinners. And there were six dining chairs. It was a very long table. It was 84 inches long, 3.5 inches thick, 36 inches wide. And, they had formal dinners for 10 years there. Imagine who was there for dinner. Guess
those photos are all on the website.
Yeah.
We've also got some photos. I don't know where they're at on my website, not in that grouping, but we've got three photos of Hitler having tea with the Eichhorn family in 1947. If you want to see what the view was out the window, click on photo 25. That's the seaplane ramp about, maybe 100, 150 feet off to the right of the house if you're sitting in the house. And
there's
this
a little dock
the
there that's kind of fallen down too, but
the view would
be to the left of this, but straight out in that lake. And it's kind of an overcast day, but wow, when it was clear, that view was just, and that's what they looked at for 10 years when they weren't out doing things, or he was not out having meetings and talking and so forth.
Who knows? We're still trying
to
find that out.
Their home. They lived there for 10 years, Harry. Think about that. Probably as long or longer than they did up by the Eagle's Nest, the home there. I don't know how long they lived in that one, but they certainly weren't retired then. They were active, so they weren't there all that much.
Right, that was the Berghof, and they stayed there only when Hitler was in Bavaria. Otherwise, he was in Berlin running the government. And he had the Berghof before he ever got going with Eva. And so this was their home. They were already married when they got here. They got married one day before the alleged suicide. And so they were married when they got here. And they lived here until 55, and that was when Juan Perón, their protector, got overthrown in the coup. And so he went to Spain, and the rest of the Third Reich people all had to scramble to stay hidden, moving to other countries, moving deeper into Argentina, because they, thanks to Bormann, they had been paying tons of money to Perón for protection, and once Perón was removed from the picture, the protection went too, and so they had to scramble.
We also believe that the reason the four presidents went down there was to renew, we'll call it a treaty, an agreement that was signed apparently at the end of the war. The Americans wanted Dr. Kurt Debus, Hans Kammler, they wanted the German rocket technology. All the engineers, the scientists, almost 10,000 of them came over in paperclip. The trade-off was for Hitler and Eva Braun and thousands upon thousands of others from Germany to be allowed to go to Argentina and not molested or bothered. That was the deal. That was the trade. That's the closest we can come to a logical assumption. Yeah. Why else would four presidents go down there? What did they do? Why? They signed something.
Oh, they went there for the waters, right?
Right.
Well, I think Jimmy Carter went down there because, as dumb as he was, he probably thought he was in Atlanta.
Oh, who knows? Sign here, Jimmy.
Bill Clinton was down there probably to be banging Christina. She was a beautiful woman back in those days. And who knows why Obama was there? He was a community organizer. Maybe he figured they needed to organize a community. I don't know. But
they all went down there to sign something, and probably John Kerry went down to sign it as well. We don't know.
Yeah, he went down there just at the very end of his tenure as Secretary of State.
It's just not a place that people would go. Unless they had a real, strong, compelling reason to go.
Right. Not people from North America. You know, that would be a place for wealthy Argentinians.
Right.
But Americans, until I started going down there, I never even heard of the place. Who else has? Nobody up here has heard of Xiao Xiao?
No. And there's another hotel in Paraguay that is almost as big. It may be as big in terms of rooms. The architecture is entirely different. It's not built on a grand scheme of things. But it's a beautiful hotel, and it is quite literally, as was Xiao Xiao when it was built, in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nothing around it.
Yeah.
All right.
Paraguay
was
also just as remote.
Yes. Picture number 26. That's not the house. That's the barn.
Look at that barn, which is about 500 or 600 yards further down the lake. I don't know which was which, but one of the buildings you'll see here was for the horses and the cows. Another one, which I think is number 27, they were breeding and raising Great Danes as protectors. Great Dane is a very good watchdog. They're very protective of their master. They're big, they're powerful, and they're scary. Mm-hmm. When I go to see Lawrence DeMello, which I do once a year out there and stay at her place, I come to the gate, and her Great Dane comes running out, snarling and growling until she realizes it's me. Then she grabs me by the forearm and starts dragging me back to the house. But if it wasn't somebody who, that she knew, it would not be a happy ending.
Maybe you better get a wig. You cut your hair off. That dog is not dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to notice there's a difference.
All well, right. By the time I get there, it's going to be 8 weeks from now. I'll have my hair due back.
All right. Look at that barn. So the point is, whoever built this gorgeous estate, which is on, I believe, 1,700 acres, did so in the late 1930s, and it was done on a world-class scale. Look at that barn. And they have a thoroughbred horse racing starting gate, which could hold 3 horses. So they were raising thoroughbreds there as well. This is
this is not
a fluke place. We'll get there.
Right.
So let's look at number 27. This is the back, I believe, of the main residence, unless it's a guest house. But I think it's the back side.
No. This is another. This is another building at the farm. I don't know what it was.
Oh, that is
but it.
That's what I thought. It's a farm building, and you see the ash. You see the volcanic ash there. How it's discolored the timbers on the side, but that can all be cleaned off. Be cleaned off.
All it takes is money.
Hundreds of gallons of Olympic stain, and they could restain the wood. But this is what I'd call an outbuilding.
That's correct. And then number 28, I think that's where they were raising the Great Danes. I'm not sure. They also had a little casino there.
A casino? I haven't heard this. You mean there was a separate building and there was a casino?
Yeah.
So guests who would come to stay and visit Mr. and Mrs. Hitler would have, they could go out and gamble, they could have fun. I didn't know that. I didn't know about the casino. Do you know which building it is?
Yeah, it's not on this display, but it's on the webpage. You know, we got hundreds of photos there, and so I thought, you know, for a 2-hour show.
They had a casino there, too. How interesting.
Yeah. Busy place.
A lot of people coming and going. And how'd they get there? Usually by seaplane. Some by boat. And anybody approaching
also,
the place, remember, had
to
pass.
On the website, we've also got pictures of some of the seaplanes there in the 40s.
Yeah, I remember seeing those.
Right.
Everybody who went there, though, had to
pass
muster. They had to pass the Saracen Tower. They had to pass the concrete bunker with the guards there. They may have had somebody on the lake on a boat, too, to watch whoever came in, check them.
They did have armed security on the lake.
There you go. 29. What's that look like?
And they're off.
That's good.
I'm sorry.
That's good. No, that's good. Remember, you were piped aboard tonight, so don't forget that.
Yes, first time ever.
Now, this is the farm at Inalco. What does Inalco mean?
I've never been able to find out. Maybe I'll have to ask Martine.
He'd know.
Probably.
If anybody would. Look at that. Now what, just remember, again, this is utterly isolated from civilization. And look, they had horse racing starting gates, enormous barns, racehorses, a casino for the visitors to have fun in.
And they had a lot of property to grow crops.
Self-sustaining, the whole place.
Yep. Just like up on the Obersalzberg in Bavaria, everything they had for the homes up there, Hitler's home, Goering's home, Bormann's home, everybody, all was from the farms which Bormann operated up on the Obersalzberg mountain.
Just amazing.
Busy people.
Practical. Pragmatic. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Industrious. Talented. There's the starting gate. That's just a whopper. So you have to ask yourself, even if you don't believe anything we're saying, why would such an elaborate, lush estate be constructed in the middle of nowhere in the early 1940s and finished and ready to be moved into in 1945. Why? The answer is only one answer.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we don't have the money, or I'd be buying that joint out in the blink of an eye. But last I heard, it was somewhere around 24, 25, 26 million U.S. dollars.
Right.
And that included all those, what is it, 1,700 acres or something like that, and all the buildings. But
right. And you could restore that resident, that primary residence.
We got plenty of members and shark hunters that are experts in various different types of construction to get them all down there for a couple of weeks.
You have 8,000 members. 24 million divided by 8,000. 24 million divided by 6,000. I don't have my calculator.
That's still a hunk of money.
Yeah.
We do have members that could write a check for that, but they're not giving up that kind of money.
What? Okay. You do have members with that kind of money.
Sure.
All right. So I would ask rhetorically, what better thing could you do with your money than to buy and restore this historic estate?
They probably have a whole lot of ideas, like living a good life.
Well, they wouldn't have to give. I wouldn't expect them to give all their money up to this. Let's say they have $200 million. 10% of it buys this place. Probably $5 million to restore it to pristine conditions.
We do have a 501c3 tax-exempt company, so people can donate to that, take it off their taxes, and we could use it to refresh the building. So anybody with a lot of money, give us a call. Phone number's on the website.
If they had not destroyed, blown up Hitler's home on the Obersalzberg, think of the people who would go there, who would generate millions a year in tourism.
Oh, yeah, you'd make a fortune at that.
Stupid people that blew that up.
Yeah,
If this were restored in Elko, you could write your ticket in terms of tourism. You could have only a certain caliber of visit. You could control it, but what an enormous thing that would be.
Yeah. Unfortunately, unless I get a phone call from some multi-zillionaire, it's still just in the thinking, wishing, planning stages.
It would only take, there are a lot of people out there who are not billionaires. They're millionaires, multimillionaires. They've got a couple hundred million, maybe 400 or 500 million. If any of you are listening, let's secure this and save it for history. And you can go down there and live in the home, whatever. Of course, it would be yours, but you'd make it available on a limited basis to people who have a real interest in history and reality. Not in fairy tales and lies and soap opera versions of history that are constantly pushed. This is the real deal. Okay, number 30.
Okay, now we have moved from Inalco. We have gone back to Bariloche, and then we have taken a boat to the island of Waimul Island. I always mispronounce it. Waimul Island. And 2 years after the war ended, a group of German scientists came here and built a nuclear research laboratory on this island, a beautiful island, small island. It was going until the early 1950s. The building we're looking at here, nobody seems to know what it was for. Well, there's a sign there that says what it is, but I don't think they really knew either. And nobody can figure out what's the function of those boards sticking out of the wall. The former director of the Argentine Atomic Energy Commission is a good friend of mine. Now, he wasn't there at this time. He was there in the 60s and 70s. He doesn't know what those boards are for. Hmm. What the heck?
Very strange.
Yeah. So
maybe some kind of camouflage netting?
I don't know why. It was away from anything. There was no combat going on. It started in 1947. No war going on.
Don't know.
And Perón.
Right, go ahead. Oh, no, your
well,
turn.
Perón, just across the water on the mainland, only a few hundred yards, because that island's only a few hundred yards offshore. Perón built a big army base there, his mountain troop training base. So they were well protected. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what those things were.
That's a mystery. Number 31.
31.
Destroyed.
That's the only building. Yeah, that's the only building that was destroyed on the island. It was blown up. All the rest of them are just decaying. And the wood has all gone away, either rotted away or people took it for whatever they needed. They had two huge diesel engines there that were the 9-cylinder MAN diesel engines out of a submarine, and they used it to power the electricity for the whole island. And then after the guys left the island, it just kind of was abandoned. So they moved these diesel engines and the generators into town, and they were supplying the town with energy.
Where did such engines come from?
After, they were submarine engines.
Did they take them out of some U-boats that made their final nest there?
They took them out of the U-boats or took them out of the MAN factory. We have been following some threads that there was some U-boat construction being done in Argentina, but right now it's only theory.
Uh-huh.
Thought maybe, so we're not going to say yay or nay. We're just going to say it's right. Something we're looking into. Now,
those,
if you go to some of these Johnny-come-lately websites, you know, internet places, mm-hmm. Oh, they'll tell you betcha. And they launched them in the Sea of Tranquility,
which
is on the face of the moon.
Right.
The U-boat guys I knew, which were most of the commanders and a lot of the other crew, they all laughed at these online forum type things, because you don't get any real answers there. All you get is guesses, theories, suppositions, fairy tales.
Point is, there was a nuclear reactor there in that building. Now, this is 1947, 48 in that neighborhood. Are those bullet holes in that wall to the left?
Could be, but there was
maybe
no combat going.
I know, and they might have used it as a mock military assault and demolition or something.
Could have been, but there was no combat going on in that area. It might have been after Dr. Richter and his staff had all pulled out. Now, one story says that they achieved cold fusion on this island. Anybody who knows anything about nuclear weapons, you have to have fission, then fusion. In other words, you have to have, in the weapons we had when I was in the Air Force, there was a small nuclear bomb and the aft end of the hydrogen bomb. And it went off to create the incredible heat needed to trigger the thermonuclear part, the Baratol, Comp B, all set off the atomic bomb, and the heat went forward into what they call the crush area, where they had deuterium, tritium, etc. And so a nuclear blast is fission. The molecules all explode, the atoms all exploding, but the thermonuclear one is created by the heat, fusion. Well, this, they allegedly achieved cold fusion, which nobody has ever done before or after, if they even did it there. So on the one side, it's reported they did create cold fusion, and Perón wanted everybody to know that Argentina was a nuclear power, made a big noise about it. Bormann wasn't happy about that. So when somebody made a fuss and experts came out to analyze, they found that, no, the machines didn't even register properly, and then they found out later the machines were, some of them were even unplugged. So did it happen or did it not happen? We have no way of knowing yet. And my friend down there who had been the director, he said absolutely not. Dr. Richter and his team just kept saying that to Perón to keep milking more money out of the Argentine till. Whether they did or did not, I don't know. But this was open from 47 until 52, 53, something like that.
In picture number 32, you're reaching with your left hand towards something.
Yeah, that's me inside the reactor building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe I was just pointing at something. I had my camera in my right hand. Like I said, that's the only building that was blown up. There are all sorts of buildings that are part of the laboratory. And then further up a little bit were the living quarters. Dr. Richter's house was there. Very clever. Air conditioning. The floor was about a foot off the ground, but it was channeled to where they could run cold water from a stream underneath his floors to cool it in the summertime.
Wow.
Very clever.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time left, but that picture number 32 is interesting. The wall on the right appears to be concrete. The wall to your left in the background is blue. Is that some kind of artwork, so to speak, on that blue wall? What is it?
I don't know if it's artwork. I think it was tile.
This was a high-class building. It was built very well, is what you did. That's...
Yeah, that was for the nuclear reactor was inside there.
Look at the brick on the upper left on the outside. Yeah, this was a big deal. Big deal.
Yeah, they made it out of brick and then put a facade.
Concrete,
of,
brick, yeah.
Yep. And I still had my hair back then.
It'll come back. All you got to do is quit cutting it. When I quit television news, I've never cut my hair again.
I'll be darned.
Never. Okay, number 33. The last
33.
One. Now, this we don't know what those things are, but they're,
I don't know. That's
somehow
right.
Part of the nuclear research there. Go ahead.
Right, that's it. They were outside the reactor building. They're solid. I don't know what kind of metal it is. Steel, aluminum, titanium, krypton. I don't know what it is, but I mean, you bang on it and you don't get the echo back. I mean, it's solid.
They're solid.
Yep.
Wow. It looks like something might have been inserted down in there, like a fuel rod.
Yeah, I was going to say like control rods or fuel rods.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I should send this picture to my friend who used to be the director out there and ask him, what is this stuff?
Please do. Look at the beautiful tile in this courtyard, wherever it was. See, why they blow things up, I just don't understand. But they do.
I don't either. But what can you say? Here they walked away from it, and they've never been able to do anything. They tried to make this a... it came across wrong in the translation when we were there. Our guide at the time said they wanted to make this an amusement park. What he really meant was they meant to make it a tourist attraction because they got signs by each of the buildings, but nobody goes there anymore. The dock had gone to hell. When I went there the first time, 2008, I fell through the dock and tore the hell out of my left forearm. I've still got, well, I've got scars, and I think I still got pieces of wood stuck in there. It was built by the Germans, but it was not maintained after they closed down this thing. So,
Go ahead.
I was going to say there's an area that looks like a small parking lot, except it's high on top of a mound. So you know darn well it's the roof of a bunker, but we haven't been able to find a way into it yet.
Oh, or a landing pad for a strange type flying craft?
It could be, but I doubt that. I think there's a reactor or something inside of there.
This needs to be, well, your friend knows. Will he tell? Will he talk? That remains to be seen. I would certainly write to him and send him this picture and any others. So this is an island in that lake, self-contained, so to speak, still has the residences of the scientists on it, and you're going to get to go there. You go on this trip.
We'll spend a whole day on the island.
Unbelievable. Wow. All right, this needs to be documented.
SharkHunters.com.
Like never before. Yeah. Okay, if you want to know about the tour, it's beginning in the date again, the takeoff date,
November.
Okay. All right. Please contact SharkHunters.com. Check in, find out about it. This is an extraordinary opportunity to walk through real unknown history. Just amazing. All right, my friend. Thank you. Great job. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, probably. Take care.
Always a pleasure. You got the number.
All righty. See ya.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Harry Cooper. All right. By all means, if you can go, just go. You'll never duplicate this again. All right. We'll be right back.